Introducing the Heart Conviction Podcast with me as your host, Nina Palmer. Spirit-filled discussions, stories, and opinions from my time as a bondsman, pastor, and inmate on reality TV. Unapologetic conversations that will push boundaries, heal hearts, and hopefully add humor where it's been needed. We'll be facing hard truth topics with co-hosts and guests from the best to those society has outcast. Brace yourself because this isn't for the faint-hearted, but crafted to ignite, disrupt, and encourage. No topics too sacred, no heart too guarded. On church, relationships, society, pop culture, sexuality, our hearts, inner freedom, the fight between good and evil, travel, missions, incarceration, reform, love, hate, and the messy journey of pushing past spiritual comfort norms. It's hard being a human, and we're going to learn, grow, crack up, and hopefully renew our minds all at the same time. This might just make you question everything. Get ready for the unthinkable. This will not be your average podcast. Hard conversations start Monday, September 8th for the Heart Conviction Podcast, a Hopecast Network production.
Hey everybody, this is Ashley Arpel Steinbach, host of Locks of Laughs, Work Advice for Me, and of course, Movie Torture, aka I am the queen of the Hopecast Network. Or if you ask me, the queen bee. I hope you're all enjoying the amazing shows we have here on the Hopecast Network, and if you are, please don't forget to like and subscribe everywhere that you listen to or watch our podcasts.
This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to.
Welcome to the Floor Recap with Angie, Tony, and Brad. We're happy you've returned to join us for tonight's recap of Season 4, Episode 7. We are lucky enough to have Season 3, Tony, and Season 3, McKenna tonight, along with Jeffrey, who dueled in U.S. stadiums on last night's episode. As always, I'm here to run the show with Brad, unaffiliated low, who is in no way connected to the floor in an official capacity, but that's what keeps him honest and what keeps it fun. We are at the 50th percentile halfway mark of the floor. We were down to 50 contestants this week, and we continue to chip away. Tonight, we will, of course, unpack each of the duels while also spilling a little tea and getting some insight from some favorite contestants along the way. Thanks for joining us, listeners, and thanks for joining us, guests. Nice to see all of you.
How are you?
Hi.
Hey, hello.
I feel like that was a delayed hello. Angie, Tony, always good to see you. I'm glad that you're here. I look forward to this. I thought we were about the 80% of the season at this point. It looks like it when you look at the floor. It looks like we have very few weeks left.
Right. Yeah. It is very consolidated, and there's a lot of what we would call negative space, mostly taken up at this point by Jonathan. But you're right. The floor does look like it's been, you know, whittled down. But there's a lot of concentrated islands out there with more contestants who we haven't even seen on camera yet. There was a guy last night where I was like, who's that? So clearly there's more personalities to come out. It'll be fun to see what happens as the season rolls on. But we're going to get right into the duel unpacking. But first, we want to just say hi to McKenna. She was on Season 3 with Miss Tony. And it's kind of fun to have Season 3 folks back. And of course, as always, thanks to Mike, Season 3 Mountains and Islands, who's also joining us in the chat tonight. So it's nice to have you all back. So I got to say, Jonathan, last week, lovely tearjerker dude. Everybody rooting for him. He gets his 20K. It looks like he doesn't have an enemy on the floor. We'll let Jeffrey tell us if that's true or not. But, you know, he ended last with the victory. So we're starting off with that this season, this episode.
Before we get to that, I want to properly intro McKenna, if I can.
Please.
Ma'am, you have inherited now the category of construction. Are you handy?
You know, I actually work for a property management company. So.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah, you definitely do that.
Yeah, I've been around a few.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Been around a few 2x4s in your life, McKenna.
Okay, a property management company did repairs, and so, you know, I mean, I blew it anyway, so
well,
I'm here.
McKenna, I just want to say this is something that I've been excited to play right now.
How does it feel to be going up against such an expert in only your second duel?
I'm ready.
That's, I feel like that's what you're saying right now. You're going up against us tonight. And
yep, and I'm ready.
McKenna, I'm going to keep that drop for other future episodes for people. Just because, are you ready to go up against us? It's time.
Yeah, I'm ready.
You've entered the Thunderdome. Let's get with the show, Angie. I'm sorry. I just have some drops.
I'm just, as far as McKenna is concerned, I'm glad she didn't say something like, I love tools. And then she would have just, like, the internet would have eaten that up. And
maybe
and
when I was in college, I don't know.
McKenna, what's the wait time if I have something wrong in my apartment for repair? Is it apartments or
tunnels? I do not work there anymore.
I was wanting to see if you really work there now.
Yeah. I don't work there anymore. But
what you doing now?
So I'm doing events for a tech company here in Utah. Yes.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Is everybody on the floor from Utah? I feel like there's so many people we've chatted with that's come on here that live in Utah. Right, Tony?
Really?
I feel like it. Mike's in Utah, right?
Yeah. Justin from this
Justin,
season on
Utah. Utah. Oh, McKenna now. I bet Utah has been the most represented state we've had on this show.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it until y'all mentioned it. That is so funny. Yeah.
There are several Utahans. Isn't David in Utah also? Or was he Colorado? I can't remember.
From this season, David was from Idaho. He was from Idaho.
New Dude Cruz, David?
New Dude Cruz
guy. He was from Idaho.
Utah. Thanks, I don't think he's from Utah.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So this week, I have to say, in terms of dual difficulty, I'm going to say that most of them would not fall into my category of difficulty, except for Jeffrey's. So I'm going to prime us by saying we might spend a little extra time talking about the U.S. stadiums category. But to start us off, we've got Jonathan, who we all know at this point is the whale, which means he's the target. Even with his OG category of podcasters, he knows people will be gunning for him. Of course they will. Now, most people will probably wait until the last duel or second to last duel to make their move because they, in turn, do not want to be picked off before the night is through. But Jonathan knows that if he gets some leverage, he's probably less likely to be an easy target. And that's what he begins doing by taking the stage, staying up there to duel so he can get a time boost or a category swap. And so that's what he does. He goes up there and he duels Ashton and Ghost Stories. So that's our first duel of the night. What did you guys think of Ghost Stories as a category? What did you think it might be before actually seeing the slides?
So I thought this category was really interesting. At first, I thought it was going to be like urban legends. But then as it like moved forward, I was like, oh, it's like ghost movies. And then I was like, wait, no, Long Island Medium. Like, what? Wow. Like, this is like everything. So it was just throwing me aback. And I'm not really into like ghost stuff. But I mean, I got quite a few, I would say.
Yeah, I don't know. Jeffrey, was there talk on the floor that it might have just been haunted movies or horror stories? I know Jonathan referenced horror stories or horror movies. But, you know, our season two had a Halloween movie category. And there was also a similar category on season one. So I thought they would play it differently. Did anybody talk about that?
I think people thought it was going to be that more scarier movies and stuff like that. But Ashton was from Louisiana and she is a Cajun girl. So she was, she was pretty prepared for it, and people didn't really want to challenge her in it. Jonathan Swift, though, man, I know you guys want to talk about him a little bit more. He knows exactly what he's doing. So it was good. It was a good duel, but I think he caught her off guard a little bit by going for her, and she wasn't real happy with some of the images she got, supposedly. So
interesting.
You know, what can you do with that?
Yeah. Well, we know that. We know you can't do anything. That's the fun of it, right? I thought Ashton looked a little. I'll just say this: I usually don't try to comment much on the looks or behaviors of contestants because I know that what we see isn't always what happened, et cetera, et cetera. Plus, as we know, if you've been there, it's hard and it's difficult and it's stressful and people have all kinds of reactions and the camera catches everything. But I thought I thought she looked a little bit like she didn't want to be there, or maybe she was stunned, but she seemed just kind of resigned to either losing or being mad. And I think there were a few contestants this week that didn't seem to have a lot of enthusiasm. Do you think that there was a sense by halfway, Jeffrey, that people were just getting tired of standing around? Am I misreading her? You said maybe she was upset about being picked or shocked. But
yeah, no, I don't know if that was the case. I really don't. I think it was just the third duel of the third day, right? You guys know how long those dates can be.
Yeah.
It was a really, really long day. And I don't think... Jonathan is like, he's so stealth that he doesn't give any vibes of like which way he's going. So I think he really caught her off guard. So
yeah, that makes sense.
Oh,
yeah.
Hold on. McKinney, you stayed on the floor till 10, right? Episode mm-hmm. 9 or 10. Were you exhausted or were you ready to game?
It's funny getting that far because at that point you're like, okay, I've been here so long. Like I want to play and I've, you know, just been standing here. But also it's kind of like, I kind of don't want to play. Like I've been here so long. I don't want to lose now or go home now. But I think Jeffrey, to your point, those days are so long. Yes. They do give us like breaks and like, I don't know. I think the camera just sees every single thing that sometimes I don't know. And I think even I had moments when I would, you know, make a face or had a reaction or made a comment and it kind of didn't read like I meant it to, which I think that's just the nature of that's showbiz. You know, yeah. I don't know, but you're right. I think, you know, at that point it can be a little tiring. You're that's a lot of standing.
Well, and if she was stunned and shocked and it's hard to react. It's hard to know how to react to that. She probably just wasn't ready. And then there was just a sense of maybe freezing. And, I got to say, it was a movie category. It was a television category. It was a pop culture category. There was a lot of skipping. I didn't granularly analyze. I want to say 5 or 6 skips. I think Jonathan skipped a couple. Ashton skipped several in a row. And that was a little surprising to me. I expected it to be maybe a little bit more quick. Competitive. Some of the images were tough, though. I have to say the Haunting on Hill House image, I skipped on that, too, when I was playing along. I'm trying to think what else was skipped on. Ghosts, I was surprised, was skipped. That's a fantastic series. If people aren't watching it right now, a new season is just launched of that program. And that's a really fun show. But any of those that you guys thought were a little weird or odd or didn't belong in the category?
I crushed this category. I would have beat Jonathan. And I didn't know Long Island Medium. I've never watched that show. But I was like, Sweeney Todd. And I knew Ghost Whisperer really fast. I was a big fan. I thought Jennifer Love Hewitt was a solid 10 on a 10 scale back in the early 2000s. Oh, yeah. And I watched every Friday night Ghost Whisperer. Yeah. And so I knew that show immediately. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Ghost Whisperer.
I bet you did. I believe that. I mean, Jennifer Love Hewitt, ever since Party of Five and I Know What You Did Last Summer or whatever.
That's what I guess that was. Because I was like, oh, she reminds me of the girl from I Know What You Did Last Summer. Yep, that's guessed. But I was like, I don't remember that being a ghost movie.
I will say that I did hear on the interwebs that there are technically no ghosts in the film Coco. I don't know if anybody here can confirm or deny that rumor. But somebody said it shouldn't have been included because there's technically not a ghost.
There's like, okay, but there's like... Like
it's a Day of the Dead theme, but there's no ghost on the movie. I don't know if that's true or not. I saw that in two places today. I thought I'd ask the
crew. I watched the movie once, but like probably like 8 or so years ago. But I remember like he like traveled to a place where like he saw all of his like his past ancestors and stuff.
Okay.
So they weren't like, ooh, but like, I think that counts as
okay. Ghosts. Well, I'm gonna double check. I didn't have time to investigate. That's why I'm asking people. But that is something I was curious about. But anyway, there were more skips maybe than we expected there to be. Jonathan's thrilled. He gets his boost because we know he ain't switching his category. The dude's got podcasters. He is a podcaster. He's happy to have it. He's going back. He's got some, leverage now. So he's thrilled. He's hanging out. He's gonna wait and see. I have to think that Jonathan didn't expect that he would not be challenged or defeated on this episode. I can't imagine he thought he would go the whole time. We'll find out that he ended up doing that, but I was pretty surprised by it. Brad?
This was probably, Tony, forgive me, this was probably one of my least favorite episodes of the whole season.
Oh.
I like Jeffrey. I do like Jeffrey on there. Very entertaining, Jeff. You were my you were my favorite one because I like sports. I'm with you. But here's the thing. Here's my problem, McKenna, Tony, Jeffrey, Angie. He has a 5-second time boost, but it's not like he's sitting on ancient Greece.
Right.
Yep. It's podcast. And it ticks me off when these people are like, nah, I ain't going to do that. You got a 1-in-1 shot, a 1 out of 2 shot of winning 20 G's if you go up against him. And you have a 1-in-40, is it 40? 42 shot at winning, what is it, $250,000.
Yeah.
I'm playing the odds. Every one of these people should have challenged him. The fact that they didn't is
crazy. Well, if you
challenge
somebody at the beginning of the episode,
then you're the whale and you're not likely to walk away.
Your chances go down. Yeah.
True, Tony. You're right. Okay. So let me just say then the last two people.
There you go. And yeah. If you want to make that
two people, we're going to get to them. So I'm going to save my rant for that. Keep going in.
All right. We'll postpone said rant. Okay.
Pause rant.
We hit the randomizer, and this is fun, right? Because finally we're like, okay, somebody else is going to take a stab at Jonathan. It's going to hit somebody near him. But it ended up picking Andre. And maybe this is what I'm getting at. Andre also looked like he could be happy anywhere else. I just didn't see the dude react much. And I'm like, that's okay, because I'm sure that he had his reasons. But there's a lot of folks and big personalities on the show this season. And maybe they're just suffering by comparison because they're not trying to make, you know, the TikTok reel. I get that too and respect that for sure. But Andre just seemed kind of like in and out. Boom, there he went. He's state nicknames guy. He goes, he's like, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll just, box office flops. Let's do that. So Eric, Mr. Bandana Belly Flopper, goes up there and he's a personality. So Eric and Andre go back and forth. Box office flops, another movie category tonight. Although tricky because not everybody's seen the films, hence the moniker flops. And that was mentioned a couple of times during the episode. And yet flops are famous precisely for being flops, right? Yeah. For scoring the highest on Rotten Tomatoes, for getting bad press, for getting panned by the critics. So I think if you know anything about films, you likely had heard of these. Or if you had just ChatGPT'd, make me a list of the top 50 box office flops in the last 50 years. There's your list. Study, bros. So I was a little surprised that they missed some of those, and particularly some of the ones they skipped, which I'm sure you can guess the ones that I was like, what? But what did you think of that category, guys?
It was easier than expected because, like, I'm not really that much of a movie person, but, like, I remember Cats being a box office flop. Or some of the ones that I don't even remember, like, I remember seeing the trailers for it, but then after the movie came out, I heard nothing about it.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of them were, like, huge, like, high-budget movies that, like, had a lot of promotion but then just fizzled out after releasing. So I did remember some of them, but, like, it wasn't as hard as I was expecting.
Yeah, I agree. What about you, Jeffrey, in studio? Were you playing along in your space?
Oh, yeah, that one I was good at. I'm a big movie guy. I mean, I even expected Howard the Duck to be on there.
Yes!
And it was. Yes! So, but the thing is, Eric confided in me. He didn't know that category either. So he was not an expert in his own category.
Got it.
So,
but we assumed the flop thing, he was assigned it.
Yeah, that seemed to happen a lot, unfortunately, in our season here for some reason. Lots of people didn't get categories that they or there was one little sliver of that when they were doing their Zooms and stuff. And then some they took that and ran with that. So a lot of people didn't get it. I actually didn't pitch stadiums. I was good with stadiums. I'm more of a music guy. I wanted a music category. I was convinced I was vinyl records. But I ended up with stadiums, and I was good with stadiums. Really, really solid, good with stadiums. I worked for a minor league hockey team, so I was good with that. It wasn't a problem, unfortunately. We'll soon find out it was a problem.
McKenna, what are your thoughts on the box office bomb category?
Okay, first, what is Rob talking about? What movie?
Yeah, what movie did he flop in? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what movie he flopped in. Hold on. Keep talking, McKenna.
I probably should know, but that was a little shocking. But I did feel like it would be a hard category to study, I think. And also, like, I do feel like you're halfway, and I feel like studying changes a little bit when you've been there for so long. It's just like, I feel like at some point people are like, well, I either know it or I don't. I don't know. Yeah. But I feel
I think that's true.
I think it would be a hard category to study because the top 10 worst of all time of the 90s. Like, I guess you kind of see how the questions are written, kind of. Like, there's always something that's kind of older. There's always some newer ones. Like,
yeah.
But I don't know.
And then so Jeffrey, do you know, like, if, like, on that briefing sheet, did they say, like, in parentheses, in this decade, or like, did they specify more, or did it just say box office flops?
No, I think it was just name these movies who, you know,
like, didn't gross their production budget.
Yeah, whatever it was, like something like that. That was the prompt. Yeah, it was not specific to like a decade or anything like that.
Okay. To your question, McKenna, I can't find a movie that he's like been the main star in that's bombed. He's never been the main star in a movie on television. Yes. Not in a movie.
Yeah. What do you know, Jeffrey? Do you know different? Were you?
No, I don't. I thought Rob was just being, you know, kind of funny there. I don't think he has any movies that bombed either. Yeah, you're right, Brad. He has some bad TV shows.
Yeah.
He played the Drew Peterson, the police officer here who was accused of killing like two of his wife.
Oh, that's right.
Rob,
the one who killed his wife.
And he had like to try to do a Chicago accent. It was pretty funny.
I got to look at that clip.
That's yeah, it's bad. He has a bad mustache.
Oh, my gosh.
That was pretty bad.
He's got a bad dye job. So we're equal.
Oh, gosh. I'm seeing it now. It's so bad. Okay, well, we're going to move on from that. Now, we've got state nicknames. Again, that's got to be an easy study one. It's a quantifiable category. I can't imagine many people are intimidated by it. But Andre had it. Now Eric's got it. And Eric's thinking, you know, at this point, if I want to attack, and he basically said in his post-interview as they spliced it in that he had plans to go after the whale, but not without some reinforcement, hence wanting to get some leverage as well. So he decides to go on a little rampage and collect some tokens along the way, get his time boost, category swap, what have you. And he turns to our buddy, Jeffrey, who's kind enough to join us tonight and walk us through. Mr. Belly Flop, unfortunately, didn't flop his category. He did pretty well. He might have studied a little bit. I want to know how you felt about stadiums, Jeffrey, and how you felt about the images, how you felt about the competition. Walk us through that duel. Unless, Brad, you have something to add before he starts.
I want to say, Jeffrey, first off, I'm shocked that stadiums was not your main category. I mean, you said you've been to, what, 1,000 stadiums? It felt
76,
it was a lot.
Yeah, 76 stadiums.
76 stadiums. You're a stadium guy. And I was kind of cheesing this category because Jeffrey's getting these tough ones, man. And then he's getting one with the logo of the Philadelphia Eagles on it. And I'm like, what in the... You're giving me, like, you're saying Bank of America Stadium, which I like because I'm from Charlotte.
It looked like that to me. I thought that's what it was. It ended up being Ford Field, and I got that. But,
You had some tough stadiums, dude. Like, I know sports, but I would have lost to you, and you lost to him.
Yeah. So the prompt on ours was name the current name of the U.S. stadium. So they did show, like, at the Staples Center in L.A. That's what it was called. It's now Crypto.com Arena, and that's what you had to say, and he didn't get that right. There was a lot of stadiums that have corporate names, right? So
right.
You knew Wrigley Field was going to be on there. You knew Fenway Park was going to be on there. For our friend David Inge from season 2, Yankee Stadium got blown in the New York category that Paul messed up on. And I was like, I know Yankee Stadium's going to be on there. So here's the thing. They switched the images of my duel. My first image was Yankee Stadium for 100%. And I passed on it because I was like, oh my God. They're going to show the outsides of the stadium. I did not expect that. I thought it was going to be the inside of the stadium. So that threw me for a loop for a second, and I didn't want to waste time trying to figure out what it was. So I started that category down like 7 or 8 seconds already because that was the first category. Then I hit Fenway, and then it was back and forth for a while. But, yeah, so they switched that entire duel, and they switched an entire image. What they showed me when we were there live was not what they showed on the thing yesterday.
That's interesting. Was this one of those duels that ended up with technical difficulties or timing difficulties that required you to stop and start it over, and then it was post-produced?
We did not have any difficulties. Really? We went right through, and they changed an image for 100% of the MetLife Stadium duel. It was like a far view of a round stadium with like a body of water in front of it. And I was like, what the hell is that? And I passed on it, and they changed it to, I still would have passed. It was like a big brown wall. I was like, still not going to get MetLife Stadium.
Jeffrey, would you have done better in this category had they shown old school stadiums and you like the Boston Garden, Robbie Stadium,
right?
That's what they should have done.
It should have said either. It should have said either the current or former name of the stadium. Yeah. Hard enough to visually recognize the space, and then to try to think, well, which corporate entity bought it out recently?
Exactly.
That's a whole other
names. Yeah. They change corporate names yearly almost.
Yes, I know.
Yes. Yes, 100%. That was why my category was difficult and people didn't want to play it. So I was in a good spot in that corner.
Yeah, you were.
And I thought, so I wanted to get randomized terribly bad. I wanted to get randomized because I wanted to try to use my category as a weapon.
Yeah.
And if I was able to get a time boost on top of it, I think I would have still been standing there.
100%.
Would it have been easier also if they'd have said, name the team that plays in this stadium?
Oh, my God. I would have killed that.
Yeah. That would have been even more interesting because you could show Lincoln Financial and you're like, oh, man, that's the Eagles, right? Or Giants Stadium or Bank of America Panthers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, so like I said, I mean, I was good with stadiums. But like I said, I'm a music guy and I really was pitching for 2 years now. I don't know if you guys all know this. Angie knows, obviously. I was a backup on season 2. So I was a backup contestant with her on season 2. That's how we met.
Wow. And then
I reapplied for season 4. Obviously, I wasn't going to be on 3. And then, so then I got on season 4. So I can't help but think, obviously, being on 2 and being a good soldier, I showed up. I went to every taping.
Yeah.
I was involved with everybody and stuff. So, I mean, I assumed it helped. I didn't tell anybody I was a backup at first because I didn't want anybody to be like thinking I had any kind of advantage. Yeah. But as soon as we got to Ireland, the hotel and stuff, that was great, you know, getting to be part of the cast and stuff because Angie and her crew wouldn't let me in. They wouldn't let me play. But, I did end up spilling the beans because when I got to the production part of it, they all like recognized me and started hugging me and stuff. So it was pretty obvious that I had been a part of it.
That must have been such a cool homecoming. And by the way, you're one of the first people I remember kind of hugging and introducing myself to at the hotel bar. Like, you're one of the first selfies. Like, and I have time markers. So, like, we buddied up early. I remember meeting you pretty early in the filming at the hotel. So,
yeah, for sure. I do remember you taking that photo. I have it. It's in our WhatsApp.
Yeah. You're so cool. So, when we found out you were going to be on 4, we were all just super stoked on the WhatsApp. Just couldn't wait to see you play. And last night, we were just like, go, Jeffrey. And honestly, I think they made that category unnecessarily difficult to the point where I don't even think people at home could play along in the way that the show intends for it to be. And I think that's really the fact that Jeff lost is the worst part for me, but also the fact that I think the show lost its focus on that duel entirely, which is unfortunate.
It ticked me off. That duel ticked me off. True.
So wait, Jeffrey, so with you being an alternate, do you think like your experience on like season 2, did you like transfer any of like what you learned like being an alternate season 2 to season 4? Like, did it make you more confident or?
Well, no, I mean, it made me more comfortable because I knew everything what was going to happen, right? I knew the process.
I knew
the hotel. We did the exact same thing. We had hair and makeup in the same places, all that same stuff. But for season 2, oddly enough, I think it's changing as we go along. I don't know how you guys were in 3. Angie knows. There were 7 of us, and we did not get to go So the first day, you know, we're ready to go. Everyone's so excited. Hair and makeup's done. We're all going in the studio. We had to stay behind in the big room there. And we watched the first three or four episodes just on a monitor in the big
room. With the production staff, right?
Just the seven of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was heartbreaking sitting there. And then, like, eventually one of the other backups is a lawyer. And he emailed and talked to Jen. And eventually they let us come into the studio. So that was all great and seeing and stuff, but I didn't walk in and play as a contestant until season four. So in that aspect, I didn't have any kind of advantage whatsoever. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I can see that for sure. Well, I'm glad you came back this time and we at least got a chance to hang out with you. What do we got in the chat there, buddy? He says, on the other hand, Jeffrey and I had dinner on the night before the legal briefing and didn't say a word to each other because we didn't know we were both here for the same thing. That's pretty funny, actually. Okay, so Eric wins. It wasn't a landslide. There were a couple misfires and it just, you know, landed the way it did. But you were super gracious and cool. And it was clear people loved you the way you were just like, hey, bye, guys. And everybody was really kind of sad to see you go. And then Eric says, okay, I got to go. I got to get three. I got to get, you know, a good offense. And we get another fun name the fruit category. Oh, sorry. Name the fruit on the tree category. Come on now. Not that hard. I have to say, I know images can be confusing. I get it. The scale was a little off. I know it's hard to tell an apricot from a peach from a mango when you're under stress. But at some point, man, just name fruits. Like, there's only so many fruits. And so there were some moments where I'm like, why are you passing, bro? Like, just say peach, nectarine, orange, grapefruit. Like, go, go, go.
Oh,
and
so you're saying pull the beans method.
Pull what the beans method. On,
yes. Like,
rattle off them fruit. Like,
it was
why
not
are
a
you
peach,
passing?
It's probably an apricot.
It's pick an orange fruit. There's only like five, you know, and we hadn't even gone deep. It's not like it's a kumquat yet. Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was kind of like an
was
easy
beans
category.
Your season or Tony's season?
My season.
Yeah.
That was my season.
That was two. Yeah.
Yeah. That was Jen's category and Joanna and dueled that one.
McKenna, do you think that category was hard? I thought it was hard.
I'm going to be quiet. You go ahead.
I mean,
talk amongst yourselves.
It was a zoomed in version of the trees for my season because my season there was just trees, but it was like fruit trees, but it was like zoomed out. So it was kind of harder, but I thought it was easy. And then it got a little bit hard.
It was so hard.
It got a little bit difficult.
Tell me you agree with me, McKenna.
But I felt like, what was his name? Eric?
Eric.
And I felt like he kind of gave up at one point. I'm like, we can guess. We can do more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Name a fruit. Just name a fruit.
Just name it.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I felt I was a little let down. I wanted that one to go like boom, 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 boom. Yeah. And then start having some wackadoo fruits, you know, like the pawpaw or the,
well,
you know.
McKenna, you never answered. Tough category or not?
Those categories aren't as difficult, but.
Ooh, she's going against me.
I don't know. But I mean, I think the scale can sometimes be a little bit hard. I think. Obviously, that can kind of throw people off, but I'm not trying to divide anyone.
No, I get you. You're Switzerland. You're being very neutral, and I
McKenna,
really.
It's okay. You can go against me. They go against me all the time. It's no big deal.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
pomegranate is, but I don't know what it looks like. I know
well,
I like pomegranate.
You got to see it twice because you saw it in the very next duel.
Yeah, it was
another
choice. Yeah.
Another
those
name.
Two
the
straight
fruit
duels were like snooze fest to me. Truthfully.
I know. Name the next fruit. Name the next superfood. You know half of them are going to be fruits. If you haven't thought about an acai berry and a goji berry, then I don't know what you're doing. I know he inherited the category, right? Demetrius inherited it because he used to have villains or something back in the day. But he's had at least a day or two to give a little primer. And honestly, a lot of those were pretty, I think, recognizable.
Can I ask all of you a question? If I'm on the floor with you and I inherit fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like rules? Like, I mean, is it okay if I say, hey, McKenna and Angie, let's quiz each other and let's
people
practice.
Do that.
That happens, right? Like, you're never like, no, I'm by myself. I'm doing this on my own.
Well, some people are like that. Some people are very lone wolfy. They're very, you know, separate and introverted. But like Cassandra on our season, she asked me to school her in state capitals. And I was like singing that, you know, Animaniac song, trying to teach her the Capitol song, and we were going back and forth. And you know, if people needed that, other people would be fine to do that. It's not against the rules.
Okay, I just wondered.
You should have helped Robbie with that category.
I would have, but Robbie was being a punk from day one. Robbie, you don't listen to this, but I love you. I love your bling. I love your real estate business.
Didn't know his category.
That guy was just, man, God bless him, but he was a personality, we'll just say. Yeah. But we do help each other sometimes. And again, people either study or they don't. It's, you know, just why they're there, what they're there for, how much they love trivia, how much they just want to be on TV. I think it just depends on the individual.
Are you telling me that people just want to come on the floor?
Believe it or not, I believe that's true.
You mean maybe like this guy right here?
Scarlett Johansson!
Lenny Kravitz.
I'm not saying Bo was there for more likes to increase his Instagram followers. The guy's he's a pretty well-known
comedian
and personality. But yeah, I think some people like to put on a show.
He's a well-known personality. Did I miss that?
On the internet, he is.
Oh yeah, Bo's a big followers. King Bo. He's King Bo, man.
What? He was all over my Instagram. I would say around 2016. Vine and all of that.
My daughter recognized him. I didn't, but I do now. I know you, King Bo. I know you don't listen, but maybe you do now. You know,
I gotta say he was funny as hell though. I mean, he was having prayer circles and all kinds of stuff going on the floor. He would not stay in his category. I mean, in his square, and they kept yelling at him to stay in his square because he was walking.
There were clips of him just walking all around the floor. Oh my gosh, it was so funny.
He was having circles and prayer circles and. He was funny though. He was quite the character.
Yeah, it's good. You need people like that. You gotta mix it up. All right, we're getting to the final duels in the night here. We got through the two food duels back to back. A little snoozy, as Brad said. Rebecca, she's plucky. She's got a funny little sense of humor about her. I kind of expected that she might stick around a bit longer. She was, I think, a very solid competitor. She also decided she was going to go for three. She told production she wanted to go for that category swap, and she was aiming for marching bands. But unfortunately, she didn't get a chance to do that because she was beaten in the category summer camp. Of course, at this point, she's got the category state nicknames, which has been inherited all night long. And she goes after Jason, who many of you remember as the Golden Square winner from early on this season. The dude's already got some money in his pocket. I think he expected to hang out in the corner until the very end. But Rebecca came a knocking. She took him and said, let's do summer camp. All right. Thoughts on the summer camp category, my friends?
I mean, it was pretty straightforward. If you've ever been to summer camp, you'll do just fine. it was pretty straightforward. Except for that one, that chair that she got at the end.
That's an Adirondack chair. I know some people are saying she should have
gotten it. I knew it was Adirondack. I'm like, Adirondack.
That is the quintessential New England summer camp chair.
My son, who's 12, goes, Dad, what's a summer camp? He said, is it like that movie we watched, Sleepaway Camp? And I'm like, yeah, it's like that, minus the guy who was dressed as a girl who killed people. Yes.
Yeah. I think you need to show him Meatballs. Meatballs is the quintessential.
I should show him Meatballs.
Meatballs is good.
Jeffrey, the 80s made the best summer camp movies.
Absolutely. 80s made the best movies and music, I will argue. But, you know, I know people.
Howard the Duck, people.
They're not going to buy on that.
Howard
one,
the Duck.
Yeah, summer camp. The 80s made summer camp look amazing.
And
you're like, man, I can
go to
this camp and meet chicks.
Parent Trap.
What did you say, McKenna?
That's what was in the beginning of Parent Trap.
Heavyweights, yeah. Parent Trap. The 90s had something, too.
Yeah. Well, we also made summer camp scary. Don't forget about Crystal Lake and Jason.
Okay.
After Friday the 13th launched statistically speaking, after the Friday the 13th movies came out, the actual attendance at summer camps dropped and never completely recovered. Yep. Check it. Fact check me.
I always wanted to go to a summer camp because I knew there'd be ladies there. That was
my
goal.
That's what the floor was. We all called the floor summer camp. Everybody
went to summer camp, but I could never stay overnight.
Yeah.
So some of the stuff I didn't really know, but I went to summer camps. Yeah.
You know the camp I always wanted to go to was space camp. Now that would have been an amazing camp. Jeffrey, space camp, right? First off,
I'm down, bro. Let's go. Let's go to space camp right
Let's
now.
Let's see you go. Yeah, we're good. Going to space camp. Me and Jeffrey. We're heading
Sounds
to space
good, man.
Camp.
Well,
let me
I'm
just
sorry.
Look. It's my wife if I can leave.
If you've never slept in a cabin overnight, I don't think you can say you've been to summer camp. And I'll tell you, because what happens at summer camp stays at summer camp. And I'm okay. just here to say there's a lot of growth and maturation that occurs in those summers.
Here's the That's problem with me. Say. Angie, this is why I can't go to camp. I'm a big snorer. I snore a lot when I sleep. I'm like, I mean, it's bad. That's and fair. I'm known to fart a few times. So there is that. So we have the problems of the farting and the snoring. I would just not be, people would be like, I can't take Brad anymore. He's got
to
go.
Your counselors would call your parents to come and pick you up early. I know.
100%. Especially now. Old man Brad. Oh my gosh.
All right, well, we go through summer camp. She missed Adirondack and she missed amphitheater. I just think multisyllabic A words were her downfall. That was unfortunate because she was really, you know, kicking butt until those things tripped her up. So Jason's like flexing. I've lived in all these places, so I clearly must know nicknames come at me. And he decides to go back to the floor and say he's going to defend. I'm curious to see how much he really knows. I'm anxious for that duel to happen. But we don't get it tonight. Last night, tonight for those of you watching on Hulu, next day. But he goes back to the floor. He says, hey, it's worked for me so far. I'm going to go back and hang out for a bit. And then, oh gosh, we get the sweetest kid on the floor, Aaron. I'm sorry. Oh the God. Randomizer hits Aaron. I love that kid. He is funny. He's cheeky. He's, you know, he's cute, but he's also just like, I'm just here to play. He's like a puppy dog. He's like the golden retriever of the floor. And I can't imagine that everybody didn't love him, but at least the way he presented on camera.
Brad, I feel like you're holding back right now.
He was nice.
I think podcasts are very boring. I do not listen to any podcasts.
Okay, we still
That's
love
my
Aaron.
Favorite drop. Aaron. That drop is so, that will, Angie, that will forever be on this show. We will drop this every episode.
I think it should be. It absolutely should. I don't know if you've ever listened to us.
I do not listen to any podcasts.
He said he had a short attention span and that they're boring.
Aaron was the sweetest kid. The funny part is he was a senior in college. So we filmed Saturday. We started Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So that was Monday. He had to do a final, and he was graduating from college on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Okay, how many duels we have left? Three? We have three duels.
That's it. That's the two more.
Okay, so I want to say a couple things. One, the deli lady, I thought that was the same lady from your season, Tony.
Julianne? Deb looks a lot like Julianne to me.
I was like, oh, my gosh, is she doubling again? Is she back? McKenna, you know what I'm talking about, right? The old lady from your season.
No, from Angie.
She was from season two.
Oh, from Angie's season.
Yeah,
okay.
She was two.
Sorry.
Julianne, she had disco, and she battled in wrestling and cleaning products. She won.
Yeah, she won two episodes. She did great.
She looked like the same lady. I'm like, oh my gosh, is this her? Is this Daryl Hannah? Is Daryl Hannah back on the show again?
But she wasn't. No, Deb is not Daryl nor Julianne. But yeah, there was a resemblance. I could definitely see that.
Okay, so he might be the sweetest kid God ever created outside of my son, Max. But I don't understand why he didn't know any deli. Why don't you just go against podcasts? Make this dude burn his 5 second.
Take him for the team. Like, if he felt he didn't know deli, why would he go for that unless he just assumed it was more common knowledge? I mean, he did okay. I'm a little surprised.
He said cutting board instead of cheese wheel.
I know, baby. But it was on a cutting board. The cheese wheel was on a board, but it's clearly the cheese wheel.
He is from Indiana. He's from Fishers, Indiana, just outside of Indianapolis. So it's not New York. It's not a deli.
There
you
go.
I mean?
It's not a deli capital.
I don't know how many delis are in Indianapolis, but, you know, like.
But Indiana's close to Wisconsin, and that's the cheese capital.
So for sure. No, he should have got cheese. No,
he did get Munster.
Got cheese.
He got Munster cheese. We got
to
give him that.
Okay, and then there was one where I could tell, like, it had to come to him, almost like he studied it. What was it?
Prosciutto?
Prosciutto. Yes. And then it panned to somebody else. It looked like that was, like, somebody before he went up was like, prosciutto. Remember prosciutto?
Yeah. I saw his brain working, too. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, no, that was really cute.
I would have lost it because I know what I'm eating, but I don't look at it before I eat it. So, like, prosciutto, I'm like, I don't know what that is. It looks like ham. I don't know.
He was clearly rattling off stuff, right? They showed the salami log, and he's like, provolone, salami. He's just, like, literally all the deli items. I do like that he called it a meat ticket. I actually think it should have
the ticket
for all of time. I actually think it should, we should have like a salami dispenser and you just like pull it out and you're like tasting it and you get a number. I think he's latching on to something there. But he was sweet. He was super generous and kind and seemed to have a really good time. Also, I guess Jeffrey said he had a lot on his mind, so maybe he was okay with leaving a little early. Then Deb, like most people's like, you know, I need some leverage too. I'm going to try to work around podcasts. Let's see what I can do. But at this point, we know there aren't enough duels left in the night for Deb to execute a plan where she could challenge Jonathan for the last duel and potentially walk away with the 20K end of episode prize. We know that's not going to happen. So it's kind of, I think you were just expecting her to gather a couple of wins if she could. And then Jonathan, at that point, I think it was pretty clear he was likely to win, especially when Deb decided not to go back to the floor because we knew nobody would be randomized that would take Jonathan on in that last duel. What do you think about that? Go ahead, Brad. This is your chance to rant about why does anybody
think it's stupid. Look, you again, McKenna, Tony, you have a 1 out of 2 chance to win $20,000. Why not just shoot your shot? It's podcast. They're going to show Joe Rogan. They're going to show Rob Lowe. They're going to show Mark Maron. They're going to show Angie. And we're going to know.
And it's been a category for a while, I would say, like enough for where you could have studied in the lunch break or.
Yeah, I would think that's by this point. By this point, definitely.
They're killing me right now. They're killing me because I'm like, dude, why are you playing the safe game? You're going to go home. And she went home.
She did.
You know what? She deserved to go home. She should have played it. And
Brad's on fire tonight. Wow.
It's like, dude, Jeffrey, am I wrong? Jeffrey, if you are up there at the last two, you're taking podcasts, right? Because you're like, I could count $20,000. I could go home with $20,000 or I could go home with zero.
That's true. Your logic is good, but I'm telling you, no one's going to beat Jonathan in podcasts. It's just not going to happen.
Wow.
You say that, but
it's not going to happen. I can guarantee it's not going
to
happen.
Jeffrey, I want us to touch back bases when he loses podcasts.
That's his original category, right?
It is his original category. So you know how it is. Brad doesn't, but it's like high school there. You're all in the. Yeah, you know, you all are at people's tables and stuff. I was at Jonathan's table. He's not going to lose podcasts. That's all I can tell you, man. I don't know what happens moving forward, even though I do know. But I'm not going to spill the beans.
Jeffrey, okay, he's not going to lose. But you know what? I would rather take my shot and lose to Jonathan in podcasts then lose to marching bands when I couldn't get anything out of it anyway.
I actually agree with the point there. That for sure, I think you are right. One of those people in those last couple duels definitely should have taken him on. Just like in season 3, right? I forget her name. Was it Lisa who took on David, right? To get rid of that category.
Yeah,
right?
She flushed out his.
She sacrificed herself, though.
She did. Jeffrey, you can go back to the episode of after that. I roasted her pretty hardly. I was pretty harsh on her, Tony. I was.
You were a little harsh. I will say that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I will say that I do agree, and I understand all of the big feelings that Brad is having. What I will say is, we still have to understand that your logic makes the most perfect sense with what I would say all things being equal. And even let's just take the time boost out of it. If you know in your heart that you have very little knowledge of something, then it's not a 50-50. It's not a 50% shot. It's far less than that. And something like marching band is a much more generic, less esoteric category. And I assume that Deb just felt that she's going for the win and not the money. And maybe she thought she could work her way around. Maybe she thought she could wait another episode. I don't blame her for not going for a podcast if she honestly doesn't know that category. Yeah. She's just dying. She's putting herself on a guillotine for nothing then. And so in this way, at least she's got a shot.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Jeffrey. Jeffrey, Angie, McKenna, Tony. Let's name some podcasts that we think are going to be on that category right now. Because
okay, but I could probably name about like 5 maybe. But if I'm going against somebody who's an expert at podcasts and has the 5-second time boost, and I only know 5 off the top of my head. I'm not, and I want to stay in the game. I'm not going to do that. I think it would make a better game because it's one of the last duels that would be more entertaining. But I think for the overall gameplay, it's not smart.
Right. And it's podcasters, not podcasts.
Oh.
So we have to remember that it's likely name the celebrity with the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
That's what
okay,
I'm saying. Name the celebrity. I could do that.
Okay.
Okay, Adam Carolla.
I think you would do better than you think, Tony. I think I would do better than
would,
I think.
Tony.
But I don't know if I'd do well.
I okay, think you're, but even there's going to be like, that call me daddy, that call me daddy girl. She'll be on there, right?
Alex Cooper? Whoever,
whatever she is. I don't know her name.
Alex Cooper, yeah.
Yeah, she'd be on there. I'm telling you, what makes you a podcast expert, first off? Could I say I'm one?
Listen
I have a network.
Podcasts.
I have a network. Am I an expert? No, I'm not. So I don't,
think that if I took the time to like actually like study it, because that was something that I felt comfortable with, like studying things that I wasn't familiar with. If I took the time to study it, then maybe I could go against him. But it's just the fact that it's his category and he has the extra 5 seconds.
And
if
he's
I
got
didn't
momentum.
Feel like confident in it.
He's got confidence.
No, I would just
he's
be
got
sacrificing
momentum.
Myself. It would be like almost pure luck.
So I guess if I want to argue my own point, if I want to go against my own point, I would say the only logic would be to get 3 in a row and take podcasts from him.
Right. And yeah, I think that's what logic. Everybody this episode tried to do.
I don't think the last two were doing that, Angie. I don't think the last two were doing that.
I think Deb was. I think Deb's loss in marching band was unfortunate. I think she drew drum cover, which I think was ridiculous.
That was so stupid.
I think that she also drew uniform. It was just a jacket. If they had shown the jacket with the pants and the hat, then clearly we're looking at a uniform. If they're simply showing the marching band jacket, I think jacket should have been accepted. So she got 2 really bad slides, in my opinion, and I think it was closer than we think it actually ended up being. I think she could have won that. Now, whether she would have gone for witchcraft or something else, I don't know, but I think she had a plan to go for 3, and then she'd have to wait until next episode to find out what she was going to do.
And I think Eric was also trying to do that as well. Like, I think
yeah,
he was
Eric said straight. He was doing it. Rebecca said she was doing it.
Yeah, Eric and Rebecca both were trying to do that.
Which that was a huge issue, McKenna, if you remember, with our season. A lot of people were trying to build up to then go duel Brian. But then what ended up happening was people would, like, drop by their 2nd or 3rd duel, and then Brian just kept on winning. Mind you, Brian was very skilled, but that was, like, people were afraid to duel him without having that armor of a time boost. So they would try to go for that time boost. They would lose prematurely, and then Brian would win the 20K day after day. And so I can potentially see that happening with Jonathan. Uh-huh.
I think you're right. And we've only got 1 duel left, so let's get through the last duel, and then we'll make a prediction about
Wait, before we get to the last duel, let me intro this right here.
If you go back to the floor, randomizer is going to choose who wins the $20,000. It's very likely to be this gentleman right here, or you can take him on and win it yourself.
Rob, how about none of the above, and I actually challenge Ashley over there in witchcraft?
Yeah, that's fair. That would be the one that I think you make your stand on. You say, how much do we think Josh knows about witchcraft versus podcasts? At that point, I think, you know, I don't know. I was shocked he picked witchcraft, honestly. But what you going to do? What do you think of that category? We had holistic healing in season 2, which
season
was a little similar.
Yep.
But what do you think of this category? Any Wiccans out there? Anybody practice the dark arts? Anybody?
I did not do too. I mean, I did better than I expected. I'm not really into any of that stuff. But like, there was a few things I was like, okay, like I knew what evil eye was. But then when it got into like spell book and all of that, I knew Ouija board. But then like after that, I was like, yeah, I don't know any of this stuff.
How about you, McKenna? Did you ever have a new age stage, a coming of age, new age stage where you had crystals and whatnot?
No, definitely not. It's so funny because I think, you know, I wonder if they thought this was going to air around Halloween. I mean, I guess it is kind of around Halloween, but it just seems like there's kind of that, like, I mean, obviously they wouldn't have known what, you know, categories were going to all happen right now, but I wonder if they kind of kept that in mind.
Well, yeah, we had ghost stories and witchcraft on the same episode. It would have made sense to be on last week, right? or the week before. That's a good point.
That's kind of funny, McKenna, because I was convinced that U.S. Stadiums was going to get picked during the World Series, for sure. I was convinced of it. I expected it to happen, and it didn't.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because I wonder if they kind of keep in mind like what like viewers or audiences are going to have kind of like on their minds like around this kind of phase.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, definitely. I really thought that was going to happen, but I was surprised it didn't. I was happy to still stand there and cheer, but you know.
Is Angie talking?
Yeah, Angie, you're on mute.
Oh, and I think Tony's gone.
Tony's gone, but Angie.
I'm sorry, oh. I muted because I was coughing. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, you're good. But yeah, Tony left.
She must have had to drop out. I'll say this. Jonathan was really sweet last week. You know, we all, I think, wanted him to win that 20K. He seemed a genuine dude. Obviously, people who are in the arts usually are struggling with consistent employment. I totally got that. I was like, yay for you. Now he's got 40K. Is he going to be the new Brian? Is he going to sit there for the next few episodes while people just tiptoe around him? Or do you, well, we saw by the preview, no spoiler for anybody, he does duel next week. He does duel. We don't know if he stays, but he does duel. So I'll be pretty interested. Honestly, it shows Serge and Jonathan head to head. And right now, Serge is an island, which means that if he's randomized, he has no other choice but to challenge Jonathan and podcasters. So we're going to see how that goes next week.
McKenna, I don't put Jonathan in the Brian category. I like Jonathan. I'm glad he won 40,000. He seems like a really nice dude. I don't put him in the Brian category yet. Brian is a different species.
Brian's a legend, but
he's
I would
a legend.
Yeah,
Tony knows. I've said it. I've said he's probably the greatest four player of all time. Mm. He's made the most money. Well, he's not made the most money, but he's made the most money not winning.
Yeah,
by
most
a mile.
Of nightly winnings. Yeah,
yeah. So I like Jonathan. Hey, if he wins it, I'll be happy. I think he's great, but I don't think he's gonna win it. I think it's too hard right now with 40 categories left and him. I think it's tough.
Does anybody remember what Serge's category is? Jeffrey, do you remember Serge's?
Yeah, it's Mattel toys.
Okay, he's got toys. So now what we're seeing is he's likely going, my prediction, he gets randomized next week. He picks Jonathan. Jonathan defends podcasters, wins. But at this point, he's still the whale, and now he's got toys. And anybody who's had a childhood of even the most like modicum of happiness and had a Sears catalog growing up or who's been to Target is likely going to do just fine in that. I think it's far less intimidating. So I have a feeling Jonathan might go home next week. We'll see if I'm wrong. That's my prediction. I'm still trying to figure out who's getting the winner's edit. They are showing a couple people an awful lot who haven't dueled yet. It makes me wonder. Josh got a lot of screen time this week. He's dueled already. He's the guy who has bones right now. Kurt and Zach are getting some screen time. Molly, who's up in that sweet, sweet corner with paleontology. She's looking pretty good to go long. I'll be curious to see who ends up taking the whole thing. But we're getting there, folks. We're getting real close. We're going to hit episode 8 next week.
What about Nikki? Nikki wants to come on our show, and she's still in there.
I think that would be really exciting. I know that they can't appear on our podcast until they've been eliminated. So
they can't? Is that the rule?
That's the rule. That's Fox's rule. So that means we can't.
Wait, hold on.
That's what I'm doing here, then.
Wait, Angie.
I did not know that.
That is not true, Angie.
Yeah, for this season, they were told that this season.
I really do.
I was going to say, that wasn't true for me last season.
Well, it's true this season. Like, I don't make the rules. Those are just them's the rules.
Wait,
I've been reaching out.
While we've only had people eliminate, I've been like, right, man. But in previous seasons we've done this show, I'm like, man, I've had people to root for at the end.
You had
like,
You had me on long before the finale. So, I mean,
same year.
It's the new rule. The producers told them this year. That's what.
Yeah,
that's,
they doubled down and they even sent us another email like maybe 3 weeks ago, reiterating, don't be on any kind of anything, any podcast, any shows, or whatever, without their permission.
Yeah.
Oh, Angie, that means they know about us. That's a win.
There you go. I thought you would spin it to the good. That's why
I spin it to the good. They know about it. They said, do not go on the floor recap on the HopeCast Network.
That's
with
right.
McKenna, Angie, and Tony.
That's
Jeffrey,
right.
You have to be eliminated before you go.
We are friends of the show.
Yeah.
We love
Thanks,
the show.
Thanks, buddy. I am.
That's right.
No, this so
means Nikki must be eliminated because she's coming on episode 10.
Well, I don't know. We can't say that. No spoilers.
I don't know if it's a spoiler. Angie, you know I hate spoilers, so I don't know if it's a spoiler.
No, I'm not spoiling. And I'm a fan of the show. I want to protect the show's integrity. I'm all about having a good time, defending it, keeping it going, keeping the enthusiasm alive, keeping the fandom growing. The Floor really changed my life, and I think I can say the same for Tony and McKenna and Jeffrey in different ways. This was a big part of our lived experience, and it's fun to share it with fellow Floor fam and people who are listening. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. Next week will be episode 8. We'll see Serge showdown with Jonathan, what will happen with the Battle of the Bros. And then I think the next week they are off because of Thanksgiving, so we will all have a little break. But until then, we will see you next week on the Floor Recap Show. Thanks, everybody, for joining.